Fellow Freedom fans back, David Allen Carmichael, Faith and Freedom Show. We've got a call. We've taken a call from Joe. And Joe, so what do you think about this Ten Commandments thing? You're up in the Williston area right now. What's your opinion on this?
Basically, I was born and raised a Catholic, okay, but I've fallen off. I'm not very religious at all. As for putting the Ten Commandments up, I can't see any harm in it. Basically, what kind of harm is it when there's something up there saying that, you know, hey, remember, don't kill someone, don't lie, don't steal, okay, you shouldn't get jealous over what your neighbors have. I mean, I can't see how someone could find something like this offensive.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about the background with some of these cases, is that atheists in particular have been the ones who've been filing suit because it especially attributes, you know, love the Lord thy God as the number one thing there. And this, most of these cases say, oh, I've walked by the courthouse or I go into the park and I avoid it because I hate it. It just makes me feel bad, makes me feel like a second-class citizen. So is there, you know, that's...
I mean,
that's
what's so bad about loving someone or, you know, okay, you don't love God. I mean, but why can't, you know, I believe we were made in God's image. Maybe, you know, love God actually doesn't mean love God, the one up there in heaven. It means love one another.
Well,
we were made in God's image. Love one another. I mean, what's so bad about that?
Well, what do you think about the First Amendment, no establishment of religion? If it says that, it says, of course, Congress shall not establish religion or prohibit the free exercise thereof.
I think what our forefathers were trying to say is that people have different beliefs and that our government shouldn't interfere with people's beliefs. Okay. I guess unless the belief is, well, like some of these, you know, their belief is to go kill the Americans. I mean, that's a little whacked out thing, but I think what our forefathers meant was, hey, let the people of this country, if they want to, you know, worship God, let them worship God. If they want to worship a cow, let them worship a cow. Okay? If it makes them feel good, if it gives them a purpose, let them do it. Okay? This is what I think our forefathers meant. Okay? Somehow or another, it's kind of getting turned around. Religion, the reason why I've fallen off of religion is, you know, there's supposed to be this separation of church and state. And I'm sure during election season, we have preachers and priests and rabbis and all standing up in front of their congregation saying, we want you to vote this way. Okay? Well, that's not a separation of church and state. You see what I mean? And religion, you know, most of your larger religions now, let's face it, you want to join a church, they want you to offer up 10% of your salary to the church. Way back when, I believe Christ said that churches, these buildings, are going to be a playground for the devil. Okay? The God I believe is in my heart. Okay? He wants... What he wants me to do is like just be good, try and be good, try and be nice. When someone needs help, give them a hand. Okay? If you can help them, help them. Okay? Don't hurt people. Okay? I don't know if it's Rodney King where he says, why can't we all get along? I mean, just,
okay.
You know.
The great philosopher, you know, Rodney King, he's something, isn't he? Well, you had good comments there. Now, what if there was a Buddhist plaque? If they had a Buddhist monument, you wouldn't have a problem with that?
No, not in the least.
Okay.
So I took offense a year or so ago. A rabbi landed in some airport. He pitched a fit at the airport because the airport was decorated for Christmas. And because they failed to have decorations for Hanukkah, for the Jewish faith, this man pitched a fit. final outcome was the airport complied, and they took all the Christmas decorations down. We've been celebrating Christmas for Lord knows how long. Now all of a sudden, it's politically incorrect to celebrate Christmas because we're going to offend someone. I don't know where this stuff comes from. I mean, what's so horrible about celebrating Christmas? It used to be a joyous time. I don't know how old you are, but I was brought up primarily through the 60s and the 70s. Christmas was a phenomenal time, okay? Now, my wife and I, we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate any holidays anymore. We have no children, okay? I take offense right now that if you go into the stores, we're decorated for Christmas already. The holidays have turned from being a holidays of a time of being with family and this and that into being a time of high profit margins. Okay, the earlier you get set up for Christmas, the chances are you'll make more profit. Okay, I mean, I find absolutely nothing wrong with let's not set up for Christmas until the day after Thanksgiving. That's the way it used to be. I used to love that. Okay, I mean, when September rolls around, the end of September, beginning of October, let's decorate for Halloween. I mean, why not? You know, once Halloween's over, let's decorate for Thanksgiving. It looks like Thanksgiving at times is kind of getting pushed aside.
And, you know, I haven't seen anybody from the separation of church and state complaining about Halloween decorations on government facilities.
Yeah.
I mean, that's associated with All Saints Day, and it's supposed to be the counter-revolution to All Saints Day. So, and it's a religious practice. So it's got its religious origins. And I mean, I know a guy came out of the pagan worship into Christianity, and he had a lot of problems with, obviously, a lot of Halloween decorations and also Christmas decorations because of affiliation with some of their pagan roots. So, I mean, you don't see any government or people suing the government over a Halloween thing.
And the other,
you go to a public school, you're surrounded by ghosts and goblins. That's metaphysics. You know, that's religion.
And Halloween, you know, it turned into what? The second largest money-producing holiday in the country. And it is, you were right, a religious holiday. It really is. But, you know, I don't know, people, I mean, we got far more worse things that need to be taken care of than worrying about whether or not it's right or wrong to set up the Ten Commandments. I mean, let's face it. You know, somebody's probably going to get upset.
Yes.
About it.
Right.
Okay. You know, it always happens. Someone's probably going to get upset about it. Then some lawsuit's going to ensue. Okay. Just because someone finds it offensive that there's words like "thou shalt not kill," "thou shalt not steal," I mean, I you know, you know. But then again, we have the right to go set up a porn shop across the street from a church.
Amazing.
Okay, and you know, it's allowed. And probably the people who find the Ten Commandments offensive are the people who are probably going to go frequent the porn shop.
That's very well possibly true.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And
hey,
you know,
Joe, that was good. You gave me the common man's. Can I tell you, you're like the average person embodied in one man. So I think that I'm going to give the phone over to anybody else who'd like to call and give their comments on that. Thanks for
great
your call.
Go to work. I thank you very much. I appreciate your time again.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, so what about that? And what is the qualification? What would cause a Supreme Court to say in the, what's the name of that guy, Van Orden versus Perry, that it says, despite the commandment's religious message, an inquiry into the context in which the text of the commandment is used demonstrates that the commandments also convey a secular moral message about proper standards of social conduct and a message about the historic relation between those standards and the law. And it's essentially a reference. It's a reference. Now, I wonder if you had a monument to the teachings of Muhammad, how much history does that have in the development of the law in America? The Sharia law is not anywhere close to the foundations of the common law, that established this nation. So I wonder how the Supreme Court would think about that constitutionally, because they had to admit that if you go back even to some of the constitutions I mention often, the Constitution of Virginia, it says that there's a mutual duty of all to practice Christian love, forbearance, and charity to one another. That's in the Virginia Constitution that came prior even to, was established prior to the Declaration of Independence, even. Actually, it was in conjunction with Virginia itself declaring independence from the King of England prior to the United States declaring independence themselves, or together as a group, corporately. Let's see what the Supreme Court said, Van Orden versus Perry. The public visiting the Capitol grounds is more likely to have considered the religious aspect of the tablet's message as part of what is a broader moral and historical message reflected of a cultural heritage. For these reasons, the Texas display falls on the permissible side of the constitutional line. Now, based on what Deborah Osborne said when she was talking about their group sponsoring the mounting of this Ten Commandments monument up there in Bronson, is she said specifically that they wanted to give a commemoration to the importance of the Ten Commandments and in the institutions of American liberty. And if you go back, if you really study this stuff, if nothing else, that monument will bring it up in discussion. We'll say, get out of here. What does the Ten Commandments have to do with liberty, especially religion liberty, religious liberty, however you want to put it? Well, it turns out that it is truly the Christian teaching that says, and you can even find it expounded upon in the documents of the founding of the government, is that it was that Almighty God, though it was in his power to do, didn't use the power of coercion to change men's hearts toward him, even though it was in his power to do. And that was some of the writings of the founders of the nation that actually put some of those statements in the government documents that make up the law of this land. So even the protection of the Mohammedan to practice his religion is a grace of the influence of Christianity, and the Christian biblical worldview is what protects the Mohammedan in practicing his religion up to a point. Up to a point. If the religion requires the killing of the infidel, I'm sorry. In America, you don't have that right. We cannot protect what you claim to be religion if it includes killing the infidel. Because Almighty God, even though it was in his power to do, does not use the power of the sword to change your heart. And that is in the foundations of the law of this land. So that's something to think about. And if we take that out, if we exclude that element of religion that was so important to the founding of this nation, what happens is we're going to open the door for pure catastrophe, and we're going to experience it. So that's my view on this issue. I'm David Allen Carmichael. You can find out more. In fact, you can download, and nobody called in to tell me what movie that music was to. Hail, Hail Fredonia, Land of the Free and Brave. And if you had, you could have gotten a signed, or actually I didn't say signed or autographed copy of my book, Faith, the Final Frontier, but you can go to faithfreedoms.org. That is a website I have where you can get a hold of that book and download it for free in its form that we sent off to the printer, and right out of the PDF file that was sent off to the printer. So you can get that for free on our faithfreedoms.org. Tune in, folks. Support Tri-County Pregnancy Center, 528-0200. Come back tomorrow. Tune in, Faith and Freedom, and check us out on the web at faithfreedoms.org. And we'll be back meeting your needs with a Liberty Work Radio Network. Go to LibertyWorksRadioNetwork.com.